Last week we started this series, and the fact that my own personal view, opinion was, don't know the author who said it, but made some sense. If your vision does not scare you, maybe your vision is too small. Because vision entails future manifestation of that which is yet unknown. Amen. Bringing it into a reality that came from God. In all of his awesomeness, God is so great that human mind cannot fully comprehend his vision. And so sometimes when he asks you to say, do something, it scares you. As we said, even the building when some of you saw it. So sometimes visions scare you, but we were assured last week that once there is a vision from God, every time, 100% of the times, it shall come to pass. Jose says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. Write it down, look upon it, for he that see it might run with it, because it shall come to pass. Guaranteed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the vision from God must come to pass. Isaiah saw Jesus walking the winepress alone 400 years before its manifestation. But brother and sister, trust me, one day he walked the streets of Jerusalem, because though the vision tarry, it shall come to pass. It must come to pass. Vision, we said, is twofold. One is physical vision. Most of you have lost it already. It down to 10, 20. It used to be 20. I hope y'all don't still 20, 20. Y'all around here still 60. 20-20 vision from physical sight. But. We said last week, I don't know if you remember, we were talking about the fact that which one of your senses would you prefer to give up? If you had to give up one out of the five, vision probably would never be one. That'd be the last one. Because without it, you stumble, you buck up, you are led by someone else most of the time. You cannot see to enjoy the nature God has given and blessed us with. Physical eyesight is vision. But also we said the second part of it is there is a spiritual vision that causes you to see from within. That has to be granted by God himself. The thing about it is most of us, the Bible speaks sometimes of the man who was born spiritually blind. Physically blind. And that we said must have been hard for him. But Jesus healed him. And he says, all I know, once I was blind, but now I could see. He was grateful for vision. In the spiritual realm, we said that each of us are born spiritually blind. For in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Spiritually, we were all born blind, alienated from the kingdom of God. Not because of what we have done, but because it was imputed to us because of our forefather, Adam. But thanks be to God who sent Jesus the Christ, that we too can be able to see again, even spiritually. Amen? His death on the cross grant us the ability to once again see spiritually. We can boldly approach the throne for ourselves. And find grace sufficient for our every need. And so spiritual vision is available to each of us. Now today we want to go further in our second part, where we talk about the dynamic of seeing or vision that helps us to see clearer than we can see. Next week we close with the fact that sometimes we need assistance to see. glasses, operations. Don't mind everybody who I look blue. Some of them were in contact. Yeah. Amen? Amen? They are instruments that assist us to see clearer. Yeah. God has provided us some assistance spiritually so we too might see clearer. Yeah. And today we look at one such dynamic. But I want to start today's reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3.
Good.
Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. We want to read it together. We want to search it together. Amen. Amen. I know we have communion today, so we're not going to stay too long. Just long, but not too long. Amen. I got to finish it before I go on vacation. So I ain't going to stay after that. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 sets the tune for what we go at today. Let's read verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Listen what it says. Read the next part. It says what? And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Because what? There was no open vision. Read one. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Physically, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the listen what it says. Let's read that verse again. It says what? And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple, where the all right. So now we have Eli get himself and found himself to be what? Blind, becoming dim, blinded physically. But that wasn't bad enough. The lamp or the spiritual light of the temple is now gone out. The people of Israel at that time are now without open vision. What a state to be in. Unfortunately, if we're not careful, that's the state we're sending our country and our own lives in. Same direction. What a state to be in. In our text, vision, the Hebrew word is called hazon. Hazon. That's the Hebrew word for vision. In our text, it's not vision of physical sight, but really prophecy, preaching, teaching the word of God, as was the same text in 1 Samuel, same word. Amen? Amen. I want you to follow me because this is how we set the tone for what we're talking about. So in order to see clearer, the Bible says you need vision. You need the word of God. You need prophecy. You need teaching. You need preaching about the word of God to see spiritually better. And it ain't hard to figure out. Some of us without contacts and glasses. What kind of glasses they are? Binoculars? What do you call it? Bifocals. That's the one. Ain't going to some soon need binoculars. Bifocals. We might not be wearing them now, but for us in our spiritual life, the lamp has gone dim. It's sad. And don't fool yourself. Don't point to nobody else. Look within yourself. How is your relationship with your God? Can you see clearly? What does someone say? I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Yes. Sing one Calypso song. Everybody know that. That's Calypso? No. You know, that Calypso? No. What that is? Reggae. Oh, well, Jesus, I mean the same thing. What difference it make? Ain't gospel. That's all I meant.
Who sing that? Sid Stephen Wonder? Who? Johnny Nash? My Clement, you know a little bit. Oh, man. That must be in the 90s when they were graduating. Or 70s. But see, you need to look within yourself and stop fooling ourselves to think we all are that. When the Bible says, if your lamp is dim, if the knowledge of God, the word of God is low in your life, you are about to perish. No vision, people, what? The word of God can't lie. It's the truth. Man, but pastor, I lose my job. I still got all the money I need. I still got a nice house and car. You understand what I said? That's physical. Spiritually, your lamp is dim. And I say dim. In Samuel's day, the lamp of the temple was what? Gone out. If yours is dim, do you know how easy it is to out-dim light? You even ain't got to blow hard. Why do you think the devil sifts some of us like we so much? Because it don't take much for us to just simply move away from God. Simple, because your lamp is what? Ain't going out, you know. No, it's still burning, but it's what? Dim. And I came to tell you today, if you keep letting it go dim and dimmer and dimmer, soon directly it will out, and the lamps that go out, the people perish. How do we perish? Health fail. Simple things that we ought to be enjoying fail us. Children, God knows what. Problems on the job. All kinds of things start to go wrong. See, not because the economy, you know. No. God takes care of his own, people of God. Yeah. Don't let nobody fool you. No matter what the world is going through, God has a way of sustaining his own. But when your lamp goes dim, God has to honor his word. The people perish. And the thing about lamps going dim, the devil don't do it and blow it out. No. He just slowly. Before you know it, you stop reading God's word. Slowly. Before you know it, you don't pray as you often used to. Before you know it, you can't even come to church as you would. Before you know it. It doesn't just, no, sir, because you'll catch yourself too quick. But subtly. He's as a serpent, you know. Or he's conniving. He's the master of deceit. He'll deceive the very, if not for the very elect, he'll deceive God's people. But thanks be to God. Can't deceive the elect of God. Greater is he that's inside of us. He that's in the world. And don't let your lamp go dim. In the name of Jesus, use this time now to trim. What do more people say? Trim. Your feeble lamps, my brother. Yes. Let your lower lamps keep burning, man. Hallelujah. Send a gleam across the way. Some poor struggling seaman you might rescue, you might save. For God's sake, people of God, keep your lamps burning. And we said that on last week. The fact is that you don't know. Vision has to do with future, helping and saving somebody else. How many people will really go to hell because you did not let your light shine? Some of the people in your own house will end up in hell because you did not trim your lamps so they can clearly see. Not just that the rain is gone, but that the Son of God is coming soon. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we want to talk about the fact that knowledge grants us or is one of those dynamics that cause us to spiritually see better. Amen? Knowledge, that's the word of God, divine word of God.
So vision is mainly talking about what I said, prophecy and teaching and preaching and the reading of God's holy word. The illumination of that word by knowledge is granted by the what? Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can really tell you the truth of God's word. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? Some things God makes known by the illumination of his Holy Spirit to those whom he have called to preach his word. Sometimes you read the word over and over. It don't seem to have said the same thing we say at the end of the day. Because God honors the order in which he creates things, as he does with his own triune God. The Trinity, Father, Son, and what?
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, eh? The three of them are one, equal. But yet the Son subjects himself to the Father because that's the order he operates in. So that same order he operates in his own Trinity, he operates within the world. So vision is, you got to understand, from God. Amen? We agree with that?
Yes.
Real true vision comes from God.
Yes.
They say, no, what the woman is called, a pre, where you could feel like you feel things and see things. You know, women see that a lot, not men. What is it? Premonition, intuition. You know, if your child is hurting and mother's with, down in wherever, jaboom. You could almost sense, and that's a reality. You know, if I'm, that's the truth. Some brothers can feel that. They have that. They say it also exists with twins sometimes. There's that, you know, sort of connection or bond. But vision is more than that. Vision is God who don't make errors or mistake. So what you see from him has to come to pass. That's why we can boldly say what we say when we talk the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it's the Holy Spirit that provides the illumination of the word so a preacher can preach. Amen?
Amen.
Now, preachers are to proclaim the word of God. Not falsely. Because a lot of us does interpret scripture wrongly, to suit our own purposes, to make some people feel good. Well, brother, you know, in the name of Jesus, them old people say, it ain't me. Now, if you come for me to make you feel good from the word of God, you got yourself a problem. God's word stands by itself.
Amen.
The Bible said it cuts to the marrow and the bone and the marrow. God's word is a disciplinarian thing. It ain't just simply soothe, no. Yes, it will soothe sorrow. Yes, it will comfort those who are mourn. But boy, let me tell you something. It brings conviction on those who know they're outside the fold of God. It's as simple as that. So preachers who proclaim the word, you should not do so falsely. Hallelujah. And it should not be proclaimed for personal reasons. You don't preach what you feel like preaching, how you feel like preaching. Even if you drink, well, let me tell you something. If you drink, if you cuss, what else is wrong? If you smoke, if you whatever those wrong things, what you all want, I don't want to call yours. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to. Oh, because if I call yours, I just have to look up in the sky when I call in yours. But all those things, if the preacher does it, I tell you all the time, it doesn't matter. If I'm doing it and the Bible says wrong, brothers, trust me, it's wrong.
Amen.
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 That's why I don't know how, what do you call it? I mean, I can look at you because I know. I don't know how a sissy, a homosexual, could look in God's word and justify it. Even if the preacher is, for God's sake, declare the truth of God's word, homosexuality is not of God.
Amen.
I don't care if you're born that way or converted that way. It don't matter. Because if you're born that way, the blood of Christ still could convert you and make you whole again. You don't got to worry about it. See, you got to tell the truth no matter what it takes.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. You don't preach false doctrine and you don't preach personal doctrine. Lastly, you don't declare visions for profit.
No, sir. No.
Amen. Amen.
You didn't pay God to get it. You didn't get it on your own. The Holy Spirit had to make it known. In the name of Jesus, it's not for sale. That cheapens God's vision. That lowers the standards of what God is doing. When you could cheaply afford to buy it. It's that precious, brother. Jesus says to the man, he said, you and your money perish. If you try to buy the Spirit of Almighty God. Could you imagine being able to purchase the power of God? Let's just say you pay what? Say, at least say something what you all can afford. Because otherwise, if you can't afford it, you'll never have it. So at least think within you know what I'm saying? How much you think we'll pay for it? $1,000? Oh, Lord, we can't afford that. Not $500 then? No. Jesus, $150. You see how cheap we spent the Holy Ghost? My God, $150. Plus what? We just got problems now. But let's just say for $1 million, $150 to $1 million, based on how much you pay, determine the degree you get. But do you know if that was possible and you got it, how much you could use to achieve from that? Could you imagine now raising the dead? You stand in the, what is that, cemetery. Lakeview, you stand at the gate. Everybody who comes say, listen, Omar, you don't got to go through that, man. But we done had the funeral. No, it don't matter. The right price, you could carry your son home. But you only pay $150 for your Holy Spirit gift. But now you start raising the dead. You start charging $5,000 for everyone you raise. Before you know it, you filthy rich. We have lessened the value of God's Holy Spirit when we sell it for profits. The Bible says God will take care of his own. David says, never seen righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As he takes care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, they never toil nor even spin. They don't go to work at 9 o'clock or 9:15 and be late, you understand. And 4:45, they're walking out the door. No, but yet my Heavenly Father takes care of all of them. How much more will he take care of you and I who name the name of Christ? Don't lessen the Holy Spirit by selling it for profits. Vision is to prepare us for the future. Amen?
Amen.
That which is to come. That's why God gives us vision. So nothing catches unaware. So when somebody come up to you and slap you, man, you should have seen that coming. See, if you didn't see it coming, you can be surprised. And you can slap them back. You understand? But the Bible says, don't act like some strange thing happened to you. No, I provide you with what? Vision. So you could be prepared for whatever the future brings to you. Because none of this stuff catches God unaware. None. I want to give you two downfalls of vision and the knowledge of it. Two downfalls today that cause us to suffer because of the lack of it. The first one is the fact that we lack vision. We lack the vision. We lack the word of God. We lack prophecy. We lack preaching. We lack teaching. Truth, not personal, not for gain. We are moving away from the unadulterated word of God. We're no longer digesting solid meat from God's word. The one where you go in just to be soothed and nicely massaged, that's watered down theology. The thing about that is that might help you on crutches. But you'll forever be on crutches. But when you start digesting the meat of God's word, when you look at the word of God, even though it hurts you, you still stand to it because it's truth.
you'll understand that one day you'll drop those crutches and stand with Christ alone. But too many of us are, in because of television, that's how I put it, we're satisfied with watered-down theology. All you got to do is say, two guys coming from America, you can't find enough space in the Candlelight Gym. What they're teaching is a nice prosperity, and guess what? A few people will get rich. But they point at you and say, you can get rich. So they're here for 2 weeks, you right there. The only thing is, we are enriching them, because that's the $100 line, that's the $500 line that you have to participate in. You see what I'm saying? We're going after, the Bible says, like with itching ears. We will hear stuff that soothes emotional, just massages emotionally, and we're satisfied. Whenever somebody stand up to you with a disciplinary word from the Word of God, we break off running and we hold them in contempt. Blue mad. So who don't talk to me after for a couple of weeks? I say, I must say something, I know. Because we get mad simply because people give us the truth of God's word. That's and we call ourselves, we call it sanctimonious Christians. We deep. But we can't take a little chafing. And whom God love it, he chastises it. I don't even know if we call, the old people used to call it thin skin. I don't know what we call it now. The thinness then rub off. You look at people now, don't say nothing to them, they're mad with you. Oh, but I ain't know what's wrong with him, he ain't talking to me. You ain't know in the name of Jesus. And we blew mad for simple things. Knowledge will help you to see clearer. Despise not knowledge. In all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The lack of the truth of God's word, the preaching, it's really the absence of the voice of God. You like to go to church and don't feel his presence? What you going to church for? The idea of coming here is to worship God. And I keep saying, and I say it, the Bible truth all the time, when you start losing worship for attention to you, you've missed God.
Yes.
God must remain the object of our worship.
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about every now and again. At all times, in every situation, God must remain the object of our worship. Him only do we praise. So let all flesh decrease, including pastor. All, let all flesh decrease and God be lifted up. In this house, he must remain the object and the only object of our worship experience. No other worship. So be careful. Be careful how you flaunt in the face of God. In his worship experience, when he is to be exalted, you seek in some praise. Because you sang good. In the name of Jesus. You know how much people could sing? Even me could sing. Once I get in the spirit, you understand. Not now though. Amen. You gotta understand, man. God, and see, it's easy to lose focus.
Yes.
He had. If you're not careful, this stuff does get to you.
Yes.
Me, I want to remain humble before the Lord. You got no time for that stuff. Because the same people who lift you up, oh, Jesus, they don't let you down, brother. No, sir. They throw you up so you come hang harder. Trust me. See, you let down people, they just drop. No, they said, just push you in there and then move. When you land, God help you.
Yes, sir.
Be careful how you see glory. He says, I'll share my glory with no man. But the humble, I'll lift up and I'll exalt. And when I lift you and exalt you, no man can put you down. None. In the name of Jesus, seek always to have the presence of God in your life and in the life of this country. See, you got to understand, where there is no vision, people perish. Ask America why they're going through all that mess they're in right now. The voice of God, the word of God is being removed from the people of God. How else should they? Man, all you can do is read Proverbs 29 and what? 18, what it says? No vision. People perish. You take the word of God from amongst them, the people will what? Otherwise, God could be a liar. And let every man be a liar. Who? God be true. God can't lie, man. Let me tell you something, people of God. We quick to say, who's the prime minister now? Things have changed so fast, you ain't know who's who. Perry Christie's still the president, prime minister. We quick to blame Perry. You see what I'm saying? We quick to blame somebody else for our problems. And we say, yes, the country is being moved in a direction where the voice and the word of God is being moved aside. We see gambling. We see things just proliferating amongst us. And we wonder what's going wrong. So it seems as though they're moving the word of God from amongst us. But the thing is also, that's the country, Perry Christie's and the government doing. But you yourself must understand where there's no vision, the people perish. It's not only the country, but it's your own life too.
Yes.
Some of us are not allowing the word of God to be moved from us, but we are moving away from the things that hear the word of God. Listen to what the word says, and it cannot lie. Without it, you can perish. Don't think it's strange when stuff start happening when you move away from the word of God. You will perish. Our radio stations, even on 101.9 no more. It on something else. So we don't hear it in our cars. We move away from the church. We don't come to church regularly. You don't understand what's going on? The devil is suddenly bringing you to destruction. John 10 and 10 is right. The thief cometh, steal, kill, and destroy. And you could prove to everybody that ain't true. I have two weddings I'm doing right now. I'm pre-counseling. I told them, I said, let me tell you something. The only thing I can counsel you on is the word of God. I've been doing it for 20, how long have we been married, sweetie? 27, 26 years. 20, whatever, yeah, that. See, that's why I had to say I married the 26th of August, 1989. That I know. Born June 20th, 1961. The years I've been losing them. But for those years, we've governed our lives on the word of God, marriage. I said, now, if you want to prove me wrong, show me. You can leave my office, leave the wedding, and go live life your way. Amen. Not God's way. Come back and tell me how to do it so I could teach other people how to do it too. Because none yet ever came back and tell me how you could live a successful marriage without God in your life. Those people who got God struggling. And you think you're fooling anybody? Oh, but Rev, you won't see them two people who you stay right there then. Go home, live with them after that. When the party ain't flying, the fat flying. When the diss ain't going, you go live with them, man. Yeah, go live with them. You go. Go live with them. You see how quick you go back home and figure it out. In the name of Jesus, don't let glitter and glamour, everything glitter and glamour ain't gold. Don't fool yourself. Boy, but those people with God. They might be living in a little shabby house. The windows got to close down at night for whatever reasons. No air conditioned to whatsoever to do. They got to catch the bus to go to work, but boy, because they got God on their side. Hallelujah! It's living proof, man. The proof is there. God keeps us. Those of us who've been married for 27 and 30 years and married them for 40 and 10, how long you been? 10 years and you for 12. You understand? I don't want you calling them numbers on me. But you got to understand, if it wasn't for God on our side, we too would have been before Osadabe. The judge. You remember Osadabe? He was a judge. Not in your day. You're too young for that. But you would have been there a long time for divorce. We'd have been walked away long time on the third marriage, and that too was failing. But because you got God, the one you're in right now is sweeter than the day before. That's God, man. Trust your God, man. The Sunday school had it so right this morning. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Them who are called according to his purpose. No matter what you're going through, brother, with God on your side, this thing will be all right. He'll work this stuff out. Better days are ahead. Because you got God. Without him, you perish. Mom, but Pastor, ain't nothing happening to me. You only understand what I'm saying? You dead and he ain't know you already dead. You only waiting on time. That's all it is, time. Without God, you are dead. Because it's the Spirit that gives us what? Life. Just go on, then what people say, go on, keep on living. You'll see. Nothing but for worms. When you put your life in a position away from the Word of God, let me tell you, some people, God, that's a dangerous thing. You finish. That's a dangerous thing. To have your Sundays designed for Goodman's Bay, that's a dangerous thing. Hallelujah. To have your Sunday designed for fish fry at 5 o'clock and after, that's a dangerous thing. People of God, I don't know what it takes for you to spiritually see better, but trust me when I tell you to set up your life that Sunday is the day of full work and work and work and work and no time for God. Trust me when I tell you, you will treading on dangerous ground. Dangerous ground. Dangerous ground. Dangerous. The Bible says, here's how it works. And see, the Bible cannot lie, people of God. It's like working and putting your money in a bucket that has no bottom. That's what the Bible says. You'll be working from sunrise to sunset, Monday to Monday, and you still ain't got $500 to buy the Holy Spirit come into the air. He says you're putting it in a bucket that has no bottom. When it ain't going to pay medical bill, car insurance, phone, you ain't never got no minutes, no how, but phone, this, cable, all kinds of things. It's just going in an empty bucket. And still by Wednesday, you ain't got no minutes. Ask my secretary. I call you all the time. Pastor, can I borrow your cell phone? Because they ain't got no minutes. You can't understand, people of God. But boy, when you give to the Lord. Hallelujah. When you simply bless the Lord. And all us, you could realize our church ain't no church would ask and beg for no money. Because that God takes care of that himself. But see, most of us confuse ourselves to thinking, you giving God just money. That's when you give. No, sir. He says, give and it shall be given to you.
Yes.
Whatever you give me, I can give you more.
Yes.
Give me your time,
yes,
you'll have more time to worship.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Give me your strength. I'll surpass 1990 is a joke, sister. Give me your all. Give me you. All of you. And watch me give you back. He says, I give it back to you. Whatever you give me. Give me your body. Sacrifice it. Man, you still looking young. Like my wife. You just give me all that you got. Give it to me. He said, I can give it back to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I can press it down.
Yes.
It could be so much, I got to shake it together.
Yes.
And the thing will run over.
Yes.
Because that's how I bless.
Yes.
And when I bless, no man can curse.
Yes.
When I open a door, no man can shut it. I am God.
Yes.
That's who he is. You don't know him? Haven't you tried him? You never experienced that? In the name of Jesus. The songwriter had it so right. You know what the song says? He keeps on blessing me. Man, when I thought it was funny, he just keeps on blessing me. Over and over and over again, the Lord just keeps on blessing me. Blessed be. See, knowledge is a powerful thing. My people suffer because of the lack of knowledge. You know what the Bible says? They say, the wealth of the wicked. Y'all don't know. I just try getting that wealth all the time. Because I'm trying to live godly. So if his word says that laid up for me, man, I pull out that every now and again. So those who don't know him, who have no time for him, when you're working on Sunday because you ain't got no time for God, working on Saturday and Tuesday, you're just working for me, you know? You're working for me. That's what you're doing. I just don't have to go. I stay home and study. Why you go out and work? Because your wealth is laid up just for me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when I need, I call on my God.
Yes.
He promised to supply my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's how it works. That's the system he got. I don't know about y'all, but that's what we've been enjoying all these years. Now, people can look at you strange and crazy. Before you know it, they'll think you thiefing. I don't know what they think now that we do to build a church. I'm doing drugs. And, I mean, let me tell you something. If I get thief, trust me, the VAT office closed because they ain't got no more money. I ain't thiefing no $1 million. See, that 150 he talking about, that ain't for me. 150 million is a joke. No, 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 no. See, if I get thief, I go run jail when I get jail. That's how much money I got. High food. No, 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 no. Every officer will be on my payroll. You're crazy? That's how much money. You think I get thief to go to jail for $1 million? You got to be crazy. But see, God will, and people of God, I want you to, I got to stop. I want you to understand what the knowledge of God's word will do in your life. If you put it in your life, don't move away from it, people of God. For God's sake, stay and hang around where the word of God is being taught. I'm talking about the truth of his word is being taught. The unadulterated word of God is, hang there, man. Because in his presence, fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. You ain't gonna need no good thing from God if you stay with God. Listen to his word. Enjoy the word of God. You promise, I promise you, you shall be the blessed of the Lord. You shall be the blessed. Thomas says you'll be like a tree. Hallelujah. Bring it forth fruits in its seasons.
its leaves also shall not wither. You will be 44 years old and still look 16. Its leaves also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what I believe in. That's what I believe in. Whatever I touch, I believe shall prosper. Whatever I give counsel to shall rise up. Because the blessed of the Lord, his leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. They're like the bay leaf tree. Flourish for a season. Soon cut down. Vanishes away. But the word of God stands forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. People of God, do not experience, do not place yourself in a position where you move away from the word of God. That's what provides clearer vision. Hallelujah. I get ended today. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't lean to your own understanding. Desire, people of God, to want to be in the presence of God. If we cancel church next week, my God, what rejoicing in, not heaven, what rejoicing that will be. I'm just saying, in heaven, but I'm just, man, for God's sake, if it rain, pastor, any Bible study tonight? Because it raining. My God, in the name of Jesus, why you won't rejoice because the rain coming down? Be careful how you don't desire. It's a mark. It's identity. He who loves him wants to be with him. Now you should be calling me, pastor. You sure ain't no church Monday? Or this Tuesday midday service? He that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Oh, I pray today you leave this place with a sincere desire to want to know more about God and experience more of his word in your life. Because that's the value. That's the means for success in your life. Otherwise, trust me when I tell you, you will be forever tired, achieving nothing. People of God, Bible truth, those of you visiting with us, leave here today desiring not to be like the children of old in Samuel's day, where the lamp in the temple had gone out and there was no open vision for the people of God. As we bow our heads in prayer. Hallelujah. The thing about desiring the word of God don't have much, if any, to do with the music and the this and the that.